You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey, y'all. Spooky season is here. And if you're looking for a show to whet your appetite for a little haunted history, then I'd like to invite you to check out Southern Gothic, a chart-topping history podcast that explores some of the most infamous legends, folklore, ghost stories, and hauntings of the American South. We've covered all sorts of stuff from the Bell Witch of Tennessee to the disappearance of the Confederate submarine, the H.L. Hunley, not to mention our deep dives into the local lore of some of America's oldest and most haunted cities, like New Orleans, Charleston, in St. Augustine. So, if you're ready for a little good old-fashioned Halloween storytelling with a commitment to quality historical research, then be sure to check out Southern Gothic today. It's available now on all your favorite podcast apps.
Monster House presents...
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Hey there. What follows is an audio version of an interview originally recorded as part of our Monster Talk Live streaming series that Karen and I hosted during 2020. As of this posting, we're not currently doing those live shows, but they are archived on YouTube. You can check the show notes for a link to this particular episode. And the live format's definitely something we're going to try to get back to in the future. These episodes do not get the normal editing treatment of a traditional Monster Talk, and because of the variety of issues that happen during live recordings, the audio quality may be wildly varied, and you should assume there will be some not-safe-for-work content, so I'm posting all of these as explicit just in case. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting Monster Talk. Your contributions at patreon.com/monstertalk and your positive reviews on the podcasting platforms and applications that you use to listen help us reach new listeners and spread the important message that monsters can be a great tool to learn critical thinking. We need critical thinking now more than ever. Monster Talk is hosted by me, Blake Smith, and my co-host, Dr. Karen Stolzno. If you enjoy this show, please check out our deep catalog of fascinating interviews with experts about psychology, sociology, anthropology, folklore, religion, and more.
Monster Talk.
So, welcome to Monster Talk Live. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner. Hi.
And today our special guest is Dr. Kiki Sanford.
Hello. Thanks for having me here today.
You're
quite
welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Longtime follower. I've seen you on so many things and heard you on so many things. So it's really great to get you here in person.
Yeah. It's the feeling is absolutely mutual. I mean, I think this has been like from a distance in running in each other's circles for so long. And it's just wonderful to get to meet and to talk. And Karen, thank you so much for inviting me on the show. It's just
great to have you here. I think I met you about 10 years ago. It was at Skeptical. So you were giving a talk and I was giving a talk. And yes, that was the first time I met you, and you were still in the Bay Area then. And so was I, and we've moved on. And
Everyone's moved on.
Good to have you on the show. You're one of those people that we've been talking about for years, and I've got to have Dr. Kiki on. So good to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great.
We've got some broad, fun stuff to talk about tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence and aliens and just kind of fun stuff like that. So
I invited Dr. Kiki on the show and I said, what would you like to talk about? Any monster? We have a very broad definition of what a monster is. And so you said sci-fi, aliens, and AI, and or AI.
Yes, I
did. We said both. Why not both?
You did. You said, why not both? And I went, okay, I don't have to choose. This is great.
So, yeah, very broad. We could really talk for several hours about both of these topics.
Absolutely.
For sure. And artificial intelligence is actually a topic we have not talked about much on Monster Talk, although it's deeply interesting.
To me.
Yeah. And there's a lot of fear around it, and more and more it's creeping into real life. We're having to deal with it. So how did you get interested in it?
Well, I think reporting on technology and science for so long, artificial intelligence is one of those topics that it's always developing, and there's always this promise of, you know, super intelligent artificial intelligence that's right around the corner that's going to be coming at some point. But then reading science fiction or watching science fiction movies, there is very often an artificial intelligence entity of one kind or another, whether or not it's artificial intelligence that pilots the ship or it's artificial intelligence that has really gone beyond what humans are capable of and is now basically the benevolent AI. But then there's also the idea of the artificial intelligence that does not care about humanity and actually just would like to get rid of it. And so we see all sorts of examples of this in like humanoid robots and these other ideas of the robots with these artificial intelligences that are going to replace humanity, you know. And it's I think a really fascinating concept, especially when we put it into that kind of humanoid robotic form, because humans are playing God in creating the robots with the artificial intelligence in the first place. And then those children go beyond the capabilities of humanity and at some point spurn their God. You know, it's just, I think just from a conceptual standpoint, it's like, oh my God.
They become teenagers, right?
You know, right. I don't need you.
Well, this is reminding me, years ago, I went to a Singularity Summit. This was a conference about the singularity. And I remember Ray Kurzweil appeared via video. So he didn't even turn up, but even though it was all about him.
Is he real anyway? It's all a construct.
Who knows? I don't think there's any proof because he just appeared via video. Right. It could have been something, a creation, a robot, whatever. But I'm wondering what you think about that, because he would talk about how machines would surpass humans, take over humans. And it always seemed like it was just around the corner. It was something that was going to happen in 2 years or 5 years. And I think we keep passing these milestones without it happening. So what do you think about that theory?
Yeah, well, it's fascinating because I talk with technologists who are so excited, but it's like, okay, we have to get past Moore's law and we have to get past the physical capabilities of the transistor and, you know, how basically the smallest transistor we can get can be no bigger than or no smaller than the size of an atom, because that's the jump that has to take place. And so there's like these atomic scales that necessarily restrain how small chips can get. And so that constrains the technology and how it's going to grow in the future. And so there's that one limitation. And then they're like, no, but we're going to find a new form of metal that'll allow us to do this, and something will happen and we're going to jump past it because that's what we always do. And so, you know, now there's the idea that we're going to get superhuman intelligent artificial intelligence by either somewhere around 2040 or 2070, I think somewhere around
keeps
there.
It's getting pushed out.
Is the estimate. And then I've talked with actual artificial intelligence researchers who are developing these computer science technologies. And they're like, we have had these kind of periods of excitement many times over the decades, and people get excited and the money comes and the research grows, and then nothing happens, and then the excitement fades away, the money goes away, and then there's a desert for a while, and then something happens that allows it to grow again. And so it's kind of these spurts of technological advancement. And mm-hmm. right now we are in a boom when it comes to artificial intelligence and the work that's being done. I mean, there's no question about it with, I mean, some of the Google and what is it, DeepMind, and I'm trying to remember the name of some of the research companies that are working on artificial intelligence, that they've developed, you know, computer technology that can play the game of Go better than a human. We've got, you know, computer technology, AI technology that's starting to write poetry and songs and can produce art that is, that when humans look at it, they go, oh yeah, that could be made by a person. You know, so the robots, quote unquote robots, are starting to attain the capabilities in certain domains.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's that whole thing about the difference between artificial intelligence and consciousness, which is a pretty big gap. So I keep thinking about it in myself in terms of general purpose intelligence would be awesome, but special purpose intelligence, we're seeing that all the time. You see it used all the time. You don't even think about it. I mean, they're not Siri. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
just forget don't say that out loud.
Our virtual assistants, they can be wonderful, helpful things, but they can also be really annoying and answer to the wrong thing and misunderstand you. And, you know, that's okay if I'm in the kitchen trying to figure out how to play a podcast episode without using my hands on my phone. But it's not okay if I'm driving down the road and expecting my car to drive for me and it's not doing it right, you know?
Right.
So.
That's turn left. I don't understand.
Right. It's like, I keep thinking, is it Johnny Cab in Total Recall that where he has like a little talking cab driver? And I'm like, that's probably way more accurate than it should be with annoying, pandering, you know. So.
Well, this is making me think of Silicon Valley. I don't know if you guys watched that at all.
Oh, yeah.
I entirely avoided that. I left San Francisco and I was like,
you left it behind.
Go away.
They did some very funny stuff with that, yeah.
Did you see the final series and the final episode was kind of, I think, based on the computers becoming more intelligent? And
No spoilers. So, yeah, okay. I think there's six seasons. We've watched five of them, and we got kind of delayed on this last one. I've got all the episodes ready to go, queued up, but haven't had a chance to sit down. I'm basically waiting on my wife. Hey, Kathleen. Okay, so we have to work together.
So who have we got on tonight? Have we got an audience or not?
We do.
Anyone watching us?
Yes.
Any questions? Anyone coming through and saying hi to Dr. Kiki?
No, my wife's mad at me now. Okay.
Nothing new.
Keeping you honest. There we go.
Yeah, I'm scrolling back. I'll scroll back up, see if I find any questions, but we can keep going through.
Yeah, usually they talk amongst themselves and complain about my background or lack thereof.
You've got some of that already.
Oh, great.
What's our drinking game?
I'll take a Monet or a Rembrandt, yeah. The drinking game. Yeah, see, Blake is very well known for his punning. So there's a group of them who like to drink shots when he...
See, the only one I thought of so far was the...
All right.
Kurzweil. Well, Kurzweil has that whole thing where he takes vitamins all the time, you know. He's like super into that. But I thought...
Longevity thing.
Kurzweil didn't show up to the conference you were talking about. So did they vitamin in? That was my first pun thought, but I held back because I thought nobody's going to know.
For everyone.
Nobody's going to get that. Oh, but here, take a drink. Yeah, sorry.
You
wonder I'm not still singularity. So
you might be pretty soon, though.
Yeah, it could happen.
You might be just around the corner.
Yeah, but that whole idea of singularity is interesting compared to artificial intelligence, because there's a lot of science fiction that goes into the question of if artificial intelligence does become conscious, you know, what is consciousness and would we recognize it if it actually happened? Then if we hit the singularity and we are able to upload our consciousness into virtual constructs into computers, essentially. What does that mean for you as a human? Because that mm-hmm. you're no longer a human. Your consciousness is in a computer. And so how does that affect humanity? And are you then an artificial intelligence yourself?
Yeah.
So are there scientists working on these questions? Are there philosophers, people who are working on the ethics concerned with all of this? Or is this just kind of speculation amongst people like us?
Right. Well, I'm sure there are people working on this, from an ethical standpoint, but at the same time, it is still so on the edge of what is possible. It's not possible yet. And so it's still storytelling. It's still speculation. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the philosophizing is actually done in, these fictional stories, kind of, authors going, oh, this would be a really interesting, kind of way to twist the world and the characters in the story. And how does that affect people? And yeah.
I find it really interesting how easy it is to fool people into believing they're talking to other people when it's like just really intelligent chatbots, for example. I mean,
yeah.
Eliza,
not very intelligent ones.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, people get fooled very easily.
When, watch Twitter.
Yeah, yes. They get into giant fights with people who are not people. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look back at Eliza, which was like one of the very first primitive interactive chat tools. I mean, it was really supposed to be like an analyst. It was basically just echoing back stuff that you were saying. But a lot of people really got engaged with that. And when they had, do you remember that site Ashley Madison, which was like the
Yes.
When that site got hacked, one of the things that was revealed, besides all the people who thought they were going to be getting affairs, was that a lot of the people weren't really people. A lot of the people who thought they were engaging with females were actually engaging with chatbots. And we're pretty easy to fool.
Especially when it's a chatbot saying exactly what you want to hear.
It's like I've come to think about it as the cat situation. I think some people see cats as, kind of little furry jerks that live in your house. And some people see them as having these tremendous personalities. And I think if you're one of those people who
you're really a dog person, aren't you?
I am totally a dog person.
You're talking to a cat person here.
Not a cat person.
Well, and as you know.
They have a very rich personality.
They do. Totally do. They're thoughtful and loving and caring and responsive. Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me that my cat is an artificial intelligence? What is going on here?
Your cat's not that into you.
That's okay.
That's not true. Some people have wonderful cats. I have the misfortune of having one of the jerkiest jerk cats I've ever met. And a dog.
Probably allure.
It's something. Now my wife's really mad at me. Yeah, okay. Yep.
It's her cat, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not my cat. So I don't know. I think more importantly, I'm not its person. I think maybe.
Mm-hmm. You don't feed it then.
Oh, you'd be surprised what I do for that cat. It's messed up, the things I have to do for that cat. Anyway, that's.
Okay, let's leave it there. Making me think of some of just the way that AI is used by some businesses. And I was thinking of those phone calls you get, the telemarketing phone calls, where you answer the phone, you say, hello, how are you? And you're chatting with someone
are you a robot? Why would you say that?
But I do think a lot of people still get fooled by those things.
Yeah, apparently they do. I mean, they wouldn't keep doing them if somebody wasn't buying into it. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I just never answer my phone. Oh.
I don't very much anymore, too, and especially since a lot of those phone calls seem to come from the same numbers or the same prefixes. You can kind of recognize them. But, I think people are getting more that way. They're not answering their phones. I think that's quite a common thing I'm hearing from a lot of people. They just don't want to deal with telemarketers and
if I don't recognize that phone number,
doesn't come
you go
up
into
name,
voicemail, and then I am screening you.
It's hard to believe that there's no technology or legislation that could stop that. Anyway. Yeah, it's almost like somebody has a financial incentive to let it just keep happening and happening. All right. That's a conspiracy theory I have. All right. I worked for telcos for a long time, and I don't think they have a lot of pressure on them to stop it, is all I'm saying. So, right. So artificial intelligence. It's on the same track, and I don't know if you've given this much thought, but there's this bugs me personally, but it's really popular. Are we living in a simulation?
Right. It's a great question. The answer is 42.
I can't tell you.
There you go. Have you run into any people several, well, there's some pretty prominent people who think this might be true. I think there are prominent people who are grossly uninformed about how complicated life is, but it would be a hell of a simulation. So.
And then it gets at like a whole big question of, you know, what's the purpose of this simulation if it is a simulation? And, you know,
where are the cheat codes?
Right. There's got to be there's Easter eggs in here somewhere. Right? Yeah. I mean, the whole idea that this is a simulation, you have to have. I mean, I've heard the thought that if you were to simulate the universe, you would need a computer as big as the universe.
Yeah, there's a space and storage problem for sure. And the universe is really big.
It's very big, bigger than you can even really conceive.
Yeah. So where do these ideas come from? Do they come from the Matrix, or do they go further back than that?
That's a really interesting question. I think the ideas, I think those ideas go further back. Yeah. I mean, especially since the advent of computing and when people started working with, I mean, I would probably say the 70s or 80s, maybe. I mean,
was it on Dallas when it turned out that it was all part of Bobby's dream, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe that was where it began. No, but my wife does.
Yeah. I mean, the first papers I remember reading about like the internet potentially becoming conscious were from the mid 90s. But you know, so the idea of it, the universe being, that's a great question. I don't know. That's a really interesting question.
I've been informed it was Pam's dream and not Bobby's. Sorry. Oh,
yes. You stand corrected. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make sure that gets fixed. There's all kinds of. It's about abstraction, isn't it? I mean, what we do in our minds is do abstractions and modeling, and then if you can do modeling inside a computer, well, how accurate can you make the model? And I can see the pattern. I can see where you could go with there, but
wonder if it might come from science fiction or something, or art too. So then it's, you know, life imitating art in that sense of theories and
philosophy. Yeah. So,
and philosophical ways of looking at things go back centuries. We've got, the advent of logic and reason, centuries back with the Greeks and I imagine that there was they probably didn't know the idea of simulation or whatever, but they were asking questions about consciousness and reality.
Actually,
and
you could take it straight to Plato's cave, couldn't you? I mean, really?
Yeah.
How can you tell what's real if you're only seeing the shadows, which goes back to the whole thing about how do you know what the real reality is versus the thing that you're experiencing. And Eastern philosophy of, are we really experiencing this right now? Is this really happening? Or is this body just an illusion?
There's precedent for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then recently there's been a lot of conversation about, the cognitive capacity of our ancestors, and at what point in time were they probably conscious in the way that we are conscious, but just living in a very different reality, living in a survival based world. And there's current speculation that at least 200,000 years ago, with the formation of complex tools, that and potentially even earlier than that, humanity would have had the same cognitive capacity that we have now. That our ancestors, they would have had the potential to be sitting there hunting some old animal and thinking about, what is the meaning of life? You know? Yeah. Why am I doing this?
Sometimes those theories go back to when we started language, so about 45,000 years ago, but we've had gestures for millions of years. So, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
A tough one to contemplate. I'm getting a headache.
This is
thinking
really
about it.
We'll have to come back and talk about that topic of the is it a simulation? Because I have a lot of thoughts about that, but it's
fascinating.
It is fascinating. I'm really against it. I mean, I think there's way more reasons to suspect it's just navel gazing BS from the valley. But you know, that's just my opinion. So.
I don't know, with everything going on right now, you know, we could be in some kind of simulation. We're guinea pigs, you know.
I prefer mass hallucination.
I'd like to restart and restore from save.
No, but as a neuroscientist, you know, there's this whole, you know, our perception is our brain creates the perception that we have, and there are internal states of our body that affect that perception. But it really is, you know, we have our internal experience and understanding of what's going on, but it's like, it's kind of like the Venn diagrams of all of our overlapping perceptions that actually create reality. Because if you were alone with no one else to compare to, you know, it's who am I? What am I?
Yeah,
absolutely.
The gold dress, blue dress thing. And I found, I mean, a lot of people were really arguing about that, but I found it to be such an interesting demonstration of qualia, of how we can look at the same inputs and get totally different results. And within my own family, like three of us saw the gold and two saw the blue, if I remember the numbers correctly.
Yeah.
So there must be a genetic component to it, but it was really interesting. And a reminder that it's always going to be difficult to get consensus when you're looking at stuff because we all have different perceptions and biases. It's really complicated.
Mm-hmm. And will artificial intelligences have those differences?
See,
or
I don't.
Will they all see things the same?
Right. Like we want things. Like we're engines. We have things we need and we want and values, cultural values and personal goals. All these things, and those have a tremendous impact on our behavior. And I can't imagine how you would be able to make good ethical machines that were able to understand that. That seems like a really hard challenge since we can't even figure out in our own families how to like deal with those kind of struggles. You know,
But then at the same time, you have things like, sorry to interrupt, but you have things like those collective hallucinations where thousands of people see Mother Mary in the sky and all kinds of phenomena.
Jesus in my toaster.
Haven't seen any of those for a while. I know those were big about 20 years ago. Another drink for everyone out there.
So I guess we should transition to aliens. That's like
great.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the question. You know, we go into space travel as humans. And we're talking about, okay, it's impossible to send humans out right now. We're going to send robots to go explore. Our robots are going to have artificial intelligence because we can't talk to them. So are the first aliens that we're going to meet going to be artificial intelligences?
And are they going to be like the oldest generation because they just got here?
Because they just got here. Yeah. How are they updating their operating system? Come on.
Wow.
So how did you get an interest in aliens?
Oh, I think from a biology perspective, I love the exobiology questions of if things are evolving on other planets, what are the forces that would turn them into whatever kinds of animals they are, whether it's, you know, lizard people or, you know, or birds or, you know, fish or whatever kind, you know, and then is it microbial slime mold type alien intelligence? So, you know, what kind of what kind of an alien could possibly be out there. And it's just looking at the diversity of animal life on our own planet, it just, mm-hmm. and if you look, consider how big the universe is and how many possible planets there are out there for life to evolve on, it just, the possibilities are limitless.
Mm-hmm. They are. It's really exciting. People who talk about this sort of topic a lot from a meta perspective, one of the things is the observation that most of the aliens you see in fiction tend to look like humanoids, for the practical reason that they're in their costumes with humanoids, in their people inside the costume. So,
right.
But I think if you think about life on Earth, we're such a small minority of the life shapes. I mean, like beetles. I mean, you know, insects. Yeah. And so many weird fish. So amazing, all the different variety that's out there, but they hardly ever put those on screen. And I wonder if that's because now we don't have the limit of suits anymore. I don't think you have to have a guy in a suit or a lady in a suit. But the CGI possibilities for what monsters look like are still pretty limitless, but there's just still not much exploration. And I wonder how much of that's because of devotion to that sort of anthropic principle.
Right. And we like to imagine ourselves in space, maybe being the conquering aliens, you know? And so if we're imagining aliens coming and conquering our planet, you know, it's like, of course they're going to look like us because that's what we're going to do. I mean, if nothing, humanity has an ego.
Yeah. So do you believe that one day we're going to come across aliens of some kind?
Yes, I do. I think I am excited about the possibility of finding microbial life on moons of Jupiter or Saturn or potentially even Mars. You know, we haven't explored there. I mean, we feel like we've been there forever, but we've scratched the surface just barely.
Yeah, barely, yeah.
Barely.
I want a moon base. So
moon base would be amazing. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think of microbial life is going to be probably the easiest kind of thing to find, little tiny life forms.
So not the great men.
Yeah. I'm not so sure about.
Hey, she froze, just like she promised. So.
Yeah, she said it would be after an hour, though. So
well, not quite, but she's about 10-second gap.
She will rejoin us, and she's disappeared. So she maybe she is an alien.
Now we know she's been returned to the home world. And
she said too much.
So and
you like my
back.
Disappearing
back? Yes, that was good. That was good. Yeah. That was a good trick. You know, we had Banachek on, and he didn't do a single trick. And there, you just blew him out of the water.
Right. Like, yeah. We were prepared for that. So.
I have magic skills also.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, you're right. I think finding life in our own solar system would be incredibly valuable because right now the only thing we know is DNA as a replicating molecule, and RNA. But those had to come from something, and we don't have any other versions. Like what we have variations, but we don't have any like really like primitive versions that are radically different from everything else. Everything's closely related. Yeah. So being something alive on another planet would be really, really informational.
Mm-hmm. It would be amazing. And if it were similar to what we've got here, I mean, that in itself would be mind-boggling, you know, that there's this idea of panspermia, right? The idea that life came microbially on a meteor and then was seeded life on the planets around the solar system, around the galaxy, maybe.
Yeah. You know,
and so and this life traveling around, I love it.
It came here from, it's panspermia, so it came here from a satellite.
That's right.
Okay.
Love a dream.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Each week on Chinwag, we dig into the weird topics you wonder about, that you care about, the stuff none of us are totally sure of, like the Bermuda Triangle, Mothman, consciousness, philosophy, UFOs, ghosts, or, say, Bigfoot.
So who's to say that there's not alien species that are Sasquatch?
Like, I've seen a ghost, and I would hear something walking and breathing.
Maybe every path is right. I will accept as a premise that every path is right.
That is a face on Mars. Eyes, nose. It kind of looked like Wilson the volleyball.
Some people enjoy the waves or whatever crashing, and I enjoy listening to a quantum physics audiobook.
I do think there are many things in the world that we just don't understand and probably won't understand.
That's our whole show.
So join us every Wednesday on all major podcast platforms and find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at ChinwagPod and Wagon.
So do you think that we can expect that if and when something's going to be found, that it's going to be more similar to what we have on Earth or more different?
I mean, I honestly don't know that we can predict that, you know, but it's
speculating.
Speculation, I mean, the forces of physics and chemistry are, as far as we know, the same all over the universe. So if chemistry works the same somewhere else, even if it's, you know, methane oceans instead of water, I mean, you've still got organic life that could form there. So there, I don't know. And if there's oxygen and you've got the hydrogens and, you know, there's, if you have the elements, they could potentially combine in the same way.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. I'm very excited about like some of the explorations they're doing around Lake Vostok, where they're trying to like get down inside this really ancient lake and see what's down there. But you've got to get through this ice, which is the same thing you'd have to do on a moon of Jupiter. Really interesting. Although I think I read, sometimes I don't remember what I read in a real thing or what was a science fiction thing, but I think I read there was a plan to do a satellite around one of the volcanic moons of Jupiter, see if they could scoop up something from the atmosphere from some of the volcanic.
I don't know about that. That's cool.
Yeah. But that might not be real. So just.
It could be a science fiction story you just read.
I've heard also a plan. I don't know if they'll ever do it, but they've got a plan to send drones to Venus, because they think if life could still be in existence on Venus, that it would be in the atmosphere.
The atmosphere. Yes. Yeah. I've heard that too. Yeah. Wow. Venus is one of those amazing planets that shows up all the time in UFO lore in the 50s and 60s. And then I think it was the Russians who sent the first satellites there, and then they crushed, melted, and dissolved in acid in like, you know, just like less than an hour. I was like,
it's like, you know, oh my God.
It is not a great place to visit.
No.
So we should probably check in too with the viewers and see if there are any questions or any comments, as long as they're not about my background.
No.
Why would they be?
You'd be surprised. People are obsessed with
a running theme, yeah.
And my wife's jumped in on that. Sorry, Karen. Okay.
No one's saying anything.
I'm just, they're talking to each other, which is fine.
Or still, chatting amongst themselves.
Chat amongst yourselves.
I would ask this question. So we had a question from Chad Allen on Twitter, who was asking about Area 51, and that's somewhat alien related. So I'll just throw this out there. He was asking if we could talk about Area 51.
Depends how you look at it.
Well, it does. Exactly. Yes. From a folklore perspective. Yeah. Okay. Area 51 is a military base north of Las Vegas. And there's a lot of lore around it, folklore, that there was alien crashes in Roswell and other places, and that the craft were taken back there, especially a guy named Bob Lazar was involved in a lot of that, that the area, like I think it's called S3, that he was working reverse engineering. Yeah. And there's no reason to believe that there are aliens or alien craft there. That's all just folklore. But it is a military test ground. And so all kinds of strange and interesting airplanes get tested there. And there was a little town called Rachel on the north side of the mountains there. And a lot of people, plane spotters, people who are interested in military aircraft and people interested in aliens would go there together and like use high power telescopes to try to look at the base and see what was going on. And there's a really interesting book written, I think in 98 or 99 called Dreamland. I'd recommend that as a good read for that sort of split between those cultures. So
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we had Don Prothero on the show and talked about Area 51.
He did.
A few years ago, because his father had worked there and was an engineer and had seen a lot of things that had gone on there. And
I think they were doing a book on chemtrails and Area 51 and a few other things. It was a multiple topic book. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could probably do to treat that again in another separate episode because it's such a big topic.
No, I would note, though, I haven't seen anybody make this connection, but the Naruto run on Area 51 was in September. And then now we have this virus. That seems a little weird. Doesn't that seem weird to you? It seems weird to me.
Are you trying to seed a whole new conspiracy theory here?
It
might be better than the 5G conspiracy.
I hate the 5G conspiracy. Oh, my gosh.
Stop already.
All these people are concerned about, Bill Gates is going to be tracking them. So they're using their mobile phones to talk about how they don't want to be tracked.
Their mobile phones
you know that GPS thing that lets you find out where you want to go and also lets other people find out where you're at. So
that's ta-da. Right.
Yeah.
And you might have Facebook on your phone that you've given access to all your data there. Yeah. If you're a Google file, you've got all the Google apps. Yep. There we go. So, you're already tracked.
Making sure nobody knows anything about me except what I share with everyone publicly all the time, whether I want to or not. Exactly.
Yeah. And as far as Area 51 and all that kind of stuff goes, I mean, there have been a lot of stories recently of new videos being released about craft flying in weird ways. And, I think there are always going to be videos, either fake videos that people have created or just are that have really interesting light phenomenon in them or, something, maybe even military technology that nobody knows about yet. You know, there are all sorts of things that can explain these things. But I love that, we don't want to be alone in the universe. And so people come on, maybe it's aliens.
Yeah, they're like cats for space people, I guess.
Right, instead of a laser beam.
The aliens are not that into you, okay? Just not. But yeah, that's the unidentified part. That's where almost everything Karen and I look at is about people. I didn't understand what this was, so I think it's this. I didn't understand what this was, so I think it's that. It's a ghost. Mm-hmm. It's a Bigfoot. It's the ghost of a Bigfoot. It's the ghost of a robot Bigfoot,
And then, as you were saying, occasionally people actually creating things like that. Makes me think of Jeff Peckman and Stan Romanek, if you could remember them and their alien videos, Alien in the Window video.
Yes.
Probably about 15 years ago now. And I think he's still in jail for something completely unrelated.
Or related. Yeah.
Could be.
Someone in the chat just yelled Highgate Vampire, which is a great topic. It's not what we're talking about tonight, but we do need to cover the Highgate Vampire. That's a really good story. So
how did that come up?
I don't know. They just walked
someone
in
and shouting.
That's how you say hello, Highgate Vampire. I'm reading that as a shout. Sorry. So, but that is a really good. We really do need to cover that. That's a fun story.
We absolutely should. But it's just funny that we say we're going to talk about one thing and then people say, are you going to talk about werewolves as well?
Yeah, that's exactly.
And the Loch Ness Monster and everything in one shot.
All of the things. Just all of them.
Everything. yes, that is what we do.
I saw on Twitter, Dr. Kiki, that you mentioned you were coming on the show tonight and then you put it out there. What's your favorite sci-fi alien? And you got a lot of response.
I did get a bunch of responses. I can open that up right now and take a look. I know some people said Mr. Spock.
Yes. He's half alien, right?
Half alien, yeah. But the Vulcan people, very logical. And I thought that one was You know, it doesn't have to be there, the monster aliens. Someone else said the xenomorph from Aliens. There's also the alien and then Predator. So those are the kind of, you know, the scary ones that,
right,
like, oh gosh, humanity, what are we going to do? Some of the other responses here I had.
We should find out which your favorite. Your favorite as well.
Yeah. And someone else, I hadn't read the Commonwealth Saga by who was it? Peter Hamilton. And I haven't read it, but Edgar Bois said Morning Light Mountain in Peter Hamilton's Commonwealth Saga. I haven't read that. So
I haven't either.
I've got a book to read.
I picked that up on Audible, the first one, but I haven't checked it out yet.
Got everything.
I have a lot of stuff on my to-do list.
Yeah, let's see. We have the entities from Arrival, which was based on Ted Chiang's Story of Your Life. The Tines from A Fire Upon the Deep. The Fifth, I can't even say that. The Fifth from Footfall, and the entities from Blindsight. And then we have Jabba from Star Wars. Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
So there were a bunch of good ones. San Francisco, Mandy Patinkin, and Alien Nation.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Alien Nation. That's a fun one.
I haven't thought about that one in so long.
I know. The getting drunk on sour milk and then the ocean will burn them up like acid. That's,
Yeah. I mean, and then there's also, you know, The Doctor and from Doctor Who.
I haven't heard of that.
the one mommy doesn't know.
Not familiar. No, sorry, no.
What about some of your favorites?
The Ood.
Oh, yeah, yes.
I love the Ood. Some of my favorites. So right now I'm like, I'm reading, what is the book? It's The Children of Ruin, and it came after another, let me see if I can open it up right here, and The Children of Ruin by, my Kindle is super slow. Hey, phone, you're fast. Adrian Tchaikovsky, that's what it is.
Okay.
And it's the second in a series that is just fascinating. And the first book was Children of Time. And it's humanity is like killing themselves off. And so they're trying to
they're trying to
terraform worlds and seed life in other places. And
it also sounds like us. Yeah.
Yeah. Very relevant.
and this one scientist has created a genetic code that is infectious and infects each generation, but makes the organisms more sentient. And it's an uplift kind of mechanism.
Okay.
Yeah. And instead of uplifting monkeys, they accidentally uplift spiders. And it's awesome.
Nice.
My son would love that.
Yeah. And the second book, it's octopuses. And
they should do Scott.
It's amazing. I'm like, space spiders and space octopuses. Oh, my God.
If they did skunks, they could have scented sentience. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's another drink.
So
what's the genre for these books?
Science fiction. Yeah. But it's really interesting because there's like a lot of it's based. I love the hard sci-fi that is based in science. So it's a lot of the speculation comes from a very real place. And so you can get yourself lost in these worlds that these authors create, as opposed to, oh my God, why'd they do that? I can't even watch this anymore, or I can't even read this book because suspension of disbelief has been completely blown.
So Christina Johnson in the YouTube chat wants to know if you'd be willing to talk about how accurate you think depictions of artificial intelligence are in science fiction and science fantasy. If you want to narrow that down, maybe like, what do you think are the most plausible versions of AI versus the most highly implausible, or whatever? However you want to interpret it, it's your question. Go for it.
I think AI is represented so many different ways. I think her name's Betsy Oliver. No, I might be blanking on her, on the author's name, but there's a series of books that in which artificial intelligence has reached human intelligence status and also gone beyond human intelligence. And humanity is still trying, deciding whether or not these artificial intelligences can have human status. And so there's real questions of personhood that go into these stories. And yeah, it's very, I love those stories because it really gets at those philosophical questions we were talking about earlier, about once something, an artificial intelligence is conscious, you know, who is a human to pull the plug? Who is a human to tell that artificial intelligence, you're not real?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's some very interesting questions there.
I do like that because I think science fiction at its best gives you that layer of abstraction. And you're like, you're one step out so you can think about topics that might infuriate you or if they were like brought in into the real world, but allow you to like really sort of examine and model your own thinking and see maybe things that you didn't notice otherwise.
And that's what I really like about stories with artificial intelligence, because they do, I think, drive very important questions that are very pertinent to society right now and culture right now, but just attaining, you know, an understanding of them from a different direction, which is really neat. And then there was I think it was called The Robots of Gotham was the name of the book, but it's a completely different direction for the AI, and the AI has reached superhuman intelligence status, and the AIs are having a war among themselves, and humanity, and there are some AI that want to completely destroy humanity and other AI that want to help humanity, but kind of as pets. And so there's a very, you know, it's very interesting from the question of if there were that next level, like where would it go?
That's it, Gotham. What was it again?
I think it's called The Robots of Gotham.
So is it like about Batman and Robowin? But
not long to go. Just another 10 minutes. Hang in there. talking about artificial intelligence that wants to destroy humanity or humankind, what do you think poses the greater threat to humankind? Do you think it would be artificial intelligence or aliens arriving?
I think the biggest issue is humanity. The biggest threat against humanity is humanity. And we should be really taking that seriously right now. But
absolutely,
to go for a more fun, AI versus aliens kind of perspective. We want to be more afraid of aliens because they're alien, they're strange, they're something that we're not going to understand that. They're not going to understand us. So of course they're going to destroy us. They're going to want our planet, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We can only understand aliens through the lens of human conflict. And so we want aliens to be the ones that destroy us. And because artificial intelligence is this thing that we're creating, it's our baby, and it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. We don't want to believe that artificial intelligence is going to be the thing to do us in. Yeah. But I think probably it's more likely that artificial intelligence will get us before the aliens do. If I'm going to take
a bet. Theory. Yeah. Go with that.
Yeah. It goes back to humans destroying themselves. So there we go.
It does. It does. It comes full circle. Also making me think, all this discussion about aliens, and Blake hasn't made any jokes about immigrants yet.
I have not.
Is that something I should be waiting for?
No. It's just,
I can feel a pun coming.
No, she was saying we were going to talk about sci-fi aliens. She's like, what other kinds? I'm like, the only thing is illegals, but I don't think that's really the right topic. So. But
I mean, what do you do? I mean, what was that movie? It was District 9?
District 9, with yeah.
The aliens.
The prawns, yeah, yeah.
Right there among us, but, you know, what do we do? Do we make them citizens? How do we manage? Like,
but they are so different than us, but they have cool technology, so yeah. So that's, they should have been trade. That was a really interesting movie. I didn't care for some of the other stuff he's done, but I really like that one.
I thought it was great.
We had a question about how do you feel about Asimov's laws of robotics?
Mm.
And a follow-up would be, have you looked at Card's, I assume Orson Scott Card's, Hierarchy of Alienness? I don't actually know that one.
Oh, yeah, I've looked at the, I don't remember all of the details of it right now, but yeah. So first for Asimov's laws, I think that computers know what we tell them, aside from new artificial intelligences that we allow to have natural learning methods to develop their intelligence, but they still have the initial programming that we give them. And we need to be very, very careful about what we tell them is their priority. You know, what is their goal? What are they trying to do? Are they saving something? I mean, there are a lot of really potentially difficult questions or, you know, bad endings for humanity if we don't get the programming right.
Yeah.
It's like, something seemed really good when I made this program, and then the program grew and it's doing what I told it to, but I don't like that.
Yes. Yeah. The ability to evolve is such a scary thing to put into programming, like the ability to learn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that inevitable then that it's going to go awry?
I think it is inevitable, but I mean, I think it is going to. Artificial intelligence is a black box. And right now we are creating artificial intelligences that we don't know how they're coming up with the answers they're coming up with or why they're doing certain things, like the behaviors, the things that they're doing. They're the computer scientists who put in the original programming. They're like, we don't know how they got to X. You know, we don't know that. So it's alien intelligence, and it's not human intelligence. And so that's something that I think we really need to consider as we move forward with it.
Sure. Yeah.
We've got another listener question. This is a less of a science fiction AI question. Human cyborgs, like people integrating with machines, and are there the dangers of unplugging a person from being a cyborg or plugging in, I guess, would also be a danger.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in a sense, we're already doing this. We're already extending our brains through having phones with us all the time. It's like, these are not books. I mean, they're offering suggestions sometimes, and maybe you want to go this way or maybe you want to go that way. They're changing our behaviors in lots of interesting ways. But do you think there's any danger in cybernetics?
I mean, beyond just how people react to it. I mean, in science fiction, it's a very common trope to have people who are augmented versus the people who are not augmented. And there's often a socioeconomic division or, you know, some aspect that divides the people who have decided to become cyborgs. You know, this last week on This Week in Science reported on a new design for an artificial eye, and it's got much better resolution potentially than the human eye. Like once they get past some of the basic wiring stuff, it's a better eye when it comes down to it. And if they in 5 or 10 years can create this thing and implant us with bionic eyes, there are people whose vision is terrible, who are colorblind, who have, you know, lost their sight. And if we can give people bionic eyes, people are going to do that. We already know people are getting the cyber cochleas, you know, to help with their hearing loss. I think people are going to use tools, whatever's available, to be able to do what they, you know, to achieve the goals that they want, whether or not it is, you know, a steroid for a bodybuilder or a mecha suit for a soldier. you know, or for somebody who's paralyzed, we're going to see this stuff more and more as the technologies are developed.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I mean, seriously, I'm like, cyber robot football leagues. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think, especially since a lot of these would be tools that would give back mobility to people who've lost their mobility, give back all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
That's tremendous. But you're right. I think a lot of, it wouldn't shock me at all if you had like really great cybernetic legs that somebody would want to have that instead of their regular legs so they could win races. I'm like, okay, maybe not the point, you know,
there will be, you know, the Olympics of the future where, okay, no doping, no augmentation, nothing. And then there's going to be the Super Olympics.
Yeah,
for which, the people,
they might actually get me to watch something, right?
Right. I remember when I went to that Singularity Summit years ago, there was a guy, a human cyborg, and I can't remember his name. You might have heard of him, but he had a camera attached to his eye or something.
Yes.
And you could log into a website and see everything that he was seeing, even when he went to the toilet, everything that he did, you could follow his journey of life.
That's ultimate live streaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally streaming live streaming. That's gross.
I don't remember his name, but I assume he's probably doing that still. And a lot more nowadays. But yeah, it's a really interesting character. But it was such an interesting group of people who were into everything from longevity to robots to just all different kinds of topics, even language and communication amongst other non-human animals.
Yeah.
So just a really interesting group of people just looking at all the ways that we can improve as humans.
Yeah. I mean, if we can improve as humans and take everybody along for the ride, I think that's fantastic. But I think if it contributes to the divisions that are already apparent in our societies, I think that's going to be, you know, it's going to be turn into some of those dystopian sci-fi novels that are very popular that I love reading. I love reading the dystopian sci-fi novels that I'm like, please don't actually happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we do like to dispel fears when we can. And I would say for people afraid of AI taking over, I mean, I think you get like the scenarios like in war games where you have the Whopper, which is going to blow everybody up with the nuclear war. And that hopefully stays a remote possibility. But one thing in our advantage is that we haven't made AIs or tools like that know how to charge their own batteries. And as long as they rely on us to give them food and
Sorry, they're working on that right now.
Yeah, that would be a mistake. Yeah. I would think you'd be a traitor to the species if you're.
Yeah, just recently, a few weeks back, there was a paper on a new robot technology that allows the robot to harvest metal. Energy from metal in its environment, and so it can self-charge.
That seems like a bad idea.
Too soon, like
spoke too soon. They're coming. I mean, we've got what do we have? The Boston Dynamics robots Singapore right now. Is that in the parks in Singapore? Have you seen those videos?
They're amazing. Yeah,
but so the dog ones, the Rover. I think they're called Rover or Spot. I don't remember. But the Boston Dynamics dog-sized robots, they've deployed a few in parks in Singapore to make sure that people are socially distancing and to, like, yell at people with, you know, a person voice to tell them to get apart and to socially distance. So you've got these super scary dog robots in the park watching you.
I guess only in Singapore where you could go to jail for littering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So park bark. Nice. That's good stuff.
Nearing the end of the show. So
it's true.
Hours flown by.
Fun conversation.
It was.
Great.
Are you drinking water? Is that water?
It is, or is it vodka.
Vodka.
White wine.
Cheers. So.
Cheers,
guys.
So, I do like that.
But we want to remind everyone to like and subscribe and share this video and all the other videos that we've got on YouTube.
Yeah, by the way, we've really blown up and we've gone from basically no subscribers to more than 400 in just a couple of weeks. So we really appreciate that. If you subscribe, it will help us out a lot. Even if you never listen to the show, just subscribe. It doesn't hurt you.
Like it. Don't not like it.
There you go. Yeah. So we appreciate it. Follow us on Patreon. You can support us at Patreon, patreon.com/monstertalk.
And we just love hearing from listeners and from viewers as well, and hearing about your favorite monsters and getting suggestions for future shows.
And Dr. Kiki, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as at Dr. Kiki, D-R-K-I-D. K-I-K-I, see if that wine is kicking in a little bit. Blah, 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 blah.
No, I'm feeling that way too.
Yeah, and my podcast, This Week in Science, is at twist.org, and you can find us on YouTube and Facebook, and we broadcast weekly on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific time.
That's fantastic.
I've got one final question, people asking, what's your favorite monster? I guess we've kind of treated that already, but
favorite monster. Okay. Gosh. I mean, I really have a thing for the supernatural monsters. So vampires. I really like vampires.
Do you like sexy vampires or monster scary vampires?
I like bunny hopping vampires. I like just vampires, I think, are fascinating. And
Are you
interesting...
talking about Bunicula? Is that
right? I love Bunicula. Oh my God, that was one of my favorite books when I was little.
Oh my God. I think I tore something remembering that. Okay.
So it started very young.
That's fantastic. Really? All right. Well, okay, I'm going to end this stream. Say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to a podcast version of Monster Talk Live, a special feature that we recorded during 2020. Links to the video version of these episodes are in the show notes. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we'll work to continue to provide good content there, including more streaming events in the future. Monster Talk is a listener-supported program, and your subscription at patreon.com/monstertalk sustains us during these difficult times. Thank you for your support and for your positive reviews. I'm Blake Smith. And along with my co-host Karen Stolzno, we ask you to join us in being the voice of reason and science in a world that's perilous with nonsense, superstition, and dangerous misinformation. Shine your lights, everyone. Even a flickering candle can be seen for miles in the darkness. And together, we are stronger. Monster Talk theme music is by Peach Stealing Monkeys. Thank you so much for listening.